Today's Mishnah is the first Mishnah in Masechet Uketzin, actually the last, the very last Masechet of Shas. And you remember this is the way the Torah began with Uketzin, as you'll recall. First thing we had in the Torah Shebikzav starts with Uketzin. The last thing that we have in Torah Shebaal Peh is Uketzin. Where did we have Uktzin in the Teresh of Iksav? With
By the Asif?
You're getting close. We had it by the Eitz Pri. Oh. Eitz Pri means there's a point at which the tree itself has the same din as the Pri. Where is that? Uktzin. The part of the tree that is connected to the fruit actually can be metame like the fruit itself, and it has the same din as the tree. So we go from the very start of the Torah all the way at the end of Torah Shebaal Peh to finally recognizing the implications of Ra and Tuma in the problem of Tama Eitz Ketama Pri, which is what started the whole mess in the first place. It ended up creating the Achil of the Eitz Hadas and the difference between Vatikach Mipiryo, which otherwise wouldn't have been the difference, and so on and so forth. Okay, anyway, so now you understand that this is going to be the topic of our Masechet. How is the Eitz like the Pri? So until now, we've had a number of dinim that have become very clear. One is the general halacha that Eichlin are only mekabel tuma after they get Hechsher, and that Eichlin can be mekabel tuma from other things that are tame. They will not be mitame unless they have a shear of a kezayit. Now, that halacha of actually things that are touching the pri and that would be mitame the pri, or water that actually wets a pri and therefore is machshirit lekabel tuma, we need to define what is defined as touching the fruit, and B, what is defined as included in the fruit, binogea the shear of the kebetza, which is necessary for it in order to emit truma to something else. Those two things are very different halachas, because one of them is a concept which is called yad. The yad, as we've seen many times, a yad means a handle, basically. You'll notice that the English word handle comes from the same word as yad does, hand. And therefore, it means an extension through which something is handled. And that din of a yad is that it actually serves as a handle to the eichel, so that if tuma touches the handle, then the eichlin will be mekabel tuma from it. And if something else touches the handle and there's a big enough shear in the eichlin, then the handle will actually serve as a conductor out of it. So the hand is actually a yad, is a conductor in both directions, and it serves as direct access to or from the eichlin. But then we have a case in which a yad does not only act as a conductor, it actually acts as part of the fruit and is included in the shear of the kebetza that is necessary. And when is that? When it acts as a shomer. Now, there's parts of the yad that are shomrim also, so you can have the very edge of the, what do you call I forgot the word in English. What's the thing that you hold a fruit with on top?
Stem.
Stem.
Thank you. So the stem, where the stem touches the actual fruit, there's a little piece of it which is soft, and which actually absorbs part of the connective tissue of the fruit itself. And that serves as a shomer. If you take that off, then bugs get into it and the fruit starts to rot. And that's very important to leave on, as Shmuel Hanina will tell you from his garden with lots of experience. So in that case, that part is called more than a yad. It's called a shomer, and since it is necessary for the survival of the fruit, It is also mitzarif in the actual shear. And therefore, there's a big difference between halacha of the yad and the shomer. Now, this halacha also would be nogea, the din of yad would be nogea, heksher l'tumah. Because if something is only going to be mekabel tumah from something else, but it doesn't have its own innate tumah, let's say sofa l'tamei tumah chamura, which we were discussing earlier in the Seder, which is the way we started off with nivlas oif tohar, and something that in the end is going to be metame, if you would eat it, it would be metame tumah chamura, so it does not require heksher. But otherwise, if it doesn't have its own tumah, then it had to have been exposed either directly or through a yad to what we know as heksher. So now, our first Mishnah is going to deal with what is considered to be an actual gateway to a tumah, or what is considered to be an actual shear of the tumah. So again, starting with the basic dinim, just to remind you, in order for something to be mekabel tumah, it has to be roi l'achila, it has to be something that people will eat. But what's new about Uxin is that there could be things that are not themselves actually edible. You can't eat the stem, but they're still going to be tamei, just like the food that they're connected to is tamei, and they will transmit it. And there's other times, as we said, where it can actually be part of it. So we've got yadayim and shomrim. Begins our mission. Kol shehu yad v'lo shomer. So let's say you have something that would be a stem of a fruit or a bone that is part of a steak, and it's got meat on one end of the bone, and you're holding the other part of the bone. Well, that is a yad. It's a very convenient way to hold the steak, but nothing's going to happen to that steak. The meat's still going to be fine if you take out the bone, so it's a yad, but it's not a shomer. So then that yad is mitame and mitame. So that means that even though this itself, the stem or the bone, is not really edible, but they are part of the food, not in terms of its shear, but in terms of the tumor going in there or the tumor coming out of there. And they're not mitzaref, that's true, but they are themselves part of that tumor. So if you touch them, you're going to become tamei. Sure. I shouldn't say you, but your liquids, whatever touches them. Shomer? How about if it's a shomer, but it's not a yad? Well, there's tons of examples of that. Any kind of nice peel around a fruit is very, very valuable for making sure that, I mean, all you need to do is get a little cut in that peel, and you've got rotting fruit under it. So all of the peel is considered to be a shomer. But, I mean, it doesn't make it easier to pick up the fruit. So if it's a shomer, it is also going to be a yad, even if it isn't a yad. And it is not only going to have the elements that a yad has, which in terms of making you tamei, I keep saying you, but you understand what I mean, making something that touches a tamei, or being mekabel tumah. So meat tamei is like meat tamei with a tav. It will be mekabel tumah through the peel, and it will be metame through the peel, but it is even more chomer. Why? Because it's even mitzaref. And therefore, if you have a shear of a kibbetzah with it, then it is going to be part of that shear, despite the fact that this thing itself is not edible necessarily. It could still be mitzaref. But if it's not a shomer and it's not a yad, so you do have things that are part of a fruit, but they're not edible. You know, you've got certain types of things where you've got spikes that stick out of them. Well, they may be too thin to be used to hold. You can't really hold them, so they're not a yad. They're this. Remember, we're talking about veggies as well. I'm going to be getting into the details of like the little strands that are coming off of your garlic and so on. May not be enough to lift it up with. So what would be the din over there? That is not mitame, and it's not mitame, and it's not mitame, and it's not part of it at all, even though it grew with it, it's attached to it. Is it edible? So then it's either it is a fruit or not. If it's not edible, it's not going to be makabel tuma. But it certainly is not part of the fruit or veggie to which it's connected. Uktzin.
Why didn't it say lo mitztaref? Why didn't it say lo mitztaref? Why didn't it keep the balance?
Because if it's not even, how could I think it's mitztaref?
That's what I thought. I thought it's mitztaref because it's part of it, but it's not going to be functioning like Yadur Shomer. I thought opposite.
The Kal Vachomer, something which is actually part of it, is always going to be at least a Yad. A Shomer adds to it, but if it's not even Mitame or Mitame, of course it's not Mitztaref.
Rebbe was giving an example of something that functionally isn't, even though it's just as much attached. Now, if I would move that spike...
But it's not eaten with it. It's not part of the fruit.
Attachment
isn't the point. Yeah, which we're gonna be looking at this. We'll see actual examples. So we're gonna be talking about parts of things that are not edible, but they're still shomrim. And then we're gonna be talking about saying things that become tamei because of the fact that they are shomrim, despite the fact that they're not handleable. So let's take a look at the cases of, let's say, Shorshei HaShun, or Shorshei HaBitzalim, or the Kaplutot. So you've got these roots, and these roots are like thin, they're thin little hairs that come and they stretch down, and garlic has this, onion has this, leeks have this, Kaplutot, which is leek, and they have their Shorashim. And they also have the pitma, which is Bachlokas Rishonim, which what we're referring to when we say the pitma. So according to Rashi, the pitma is where you've got the leaves that are coming out of the top. So you have that. Oh, you have it? Oh, can you bring it closer to the screen? No, it's too high. Lower. So, okay, yeah. So his fingers are on the pitma. According to Rashi, the pitma is that transition between the bulb and the leaf that comes out. The shorashim are on the bottom, as you can see, that hairy stuff. And we're referring to, that's Rashi. And actually, the Rambam has it reversed. So the din is like this, that pitma and that actual what Shmuel was showing us, I think they were Yeveshim, am I correct? So they Bein Lacha, Bein Yevesha. Truth is that it doesn't really matter whether they were fresh or whether they were already dried out. And what's more, the Amud Shumuchuvan Kineged HaOchel. So if you have the part that extends onward through that into the bulb, it's mechuvan directly keneged the food that grows out of it. So you've got the core, and you've got around that core, you grow layer after layer after layer in these types, the shum, bitzolim, and kaplutot. It grows from the bottom of the bulb, and that what's called the core, that grows up through the bottom, and it goes all the way to the top, where ultimately it grows into the leaves and into its own flowers and so on. So that part, that inside part, is basically the heart of the onion. So if you slice an onion through, smack bang in the middle, the leaf that continues onward and upward that grows out of it, you can now trace it through the middle heart of the core all the way down to the root. So that is called the amud. And that amud is the, whatever you want to call it, the core of the stalk. So it grows from the base, it grows through the middle, and it continues to grow into developing the flower and the seed in the end. So the part that's inside the bulb is what's called the amud, and it is mechuvan keneged ha'ochel because it's right there inside of the food. And if you would take that out, let's say you would core out that piece by digging down from the top, and you would pull that out, and you would leave just the growth that's around that stalk, the whole thing would very rapidly be ruined. Because of that, we view it as being a shomer. And even when it's very dry and you would no longer be able to eat it because it's turned into basically a hard piece, it doesn't matter. Because if you remove it, the whole fruit or the whole veggie is going to, or the whole bulb is going to dry out and be useless. So therefore, it's called a shomer even when it's not considered to be itself edible. And this is true, therefore, we're saying all of these pieces that is not edible, it wouldn't make any difference because it still acts as shomerim. Shorshei chazarim, chazarim is the real meaning of the chazaret, which is lettuce, and snon, and snon, of course, is the radishes, and the nofum, which I think is a different kind of radish. I don't quite understand exactly what it's supposed to look like. All of those things are also the same, and they are considered to be shomri. So says Rabbi Meir, whereas Rabbi Yehuda says, only the shoresh of the tzon gadol is mitzar. So there was, apparently there were two, I don't know, maybe Rabbanea knows in ancient times, whether they separated between two very different types of tznon. One is what we know as a tznon, is that sort of longish cylinder, which is a tznon. But the other was a turnipy kind of thing. It was roundish, and it was also called a tznon. So I don't know whether we would call it a tznon today or whether it was actually more like a turnip kind of thing. But in any event, the differences, according to Rabbi Yehuda, is that if you have the radish that we call the radish, the long radish, so then that part is a shomer, and that part is mitzarev. But the smaller things that extend out of it, which are like more sieve, so they're like hairy, fine, thin kind of roots, those are not necessary in order for it to survive. So there is the main root that continues growing out directly out of the bottom, the tap root, that does grow out of the bottom. And however, the small little hairy roots that grow out of the side are not necessary to be shomer, and therefore they're not actually mitzarev. However, the idea is that apparently that main root is actually a shomer, and it would be mitzarev to the shear itself. This has been nogea bedafka, this what we call tznon. Apparently Rabbi Yehuda does not hold this benogea, the other type of tznon, or the other things that we listed here, like the lettuce, that he doesn't argue it. He only argues about which root on the long tznon is considered to be the essential tzon. Now, how about mint? Shorshei haminta. So if you've got roots that come out of mint, or hapegam, I don't know. I know how it's translated, but I don't know what it is. It's translated as rue, and it's also a type of bush that apparently...
Is that a rhubarb?
I don't know. Maybe. I mean, rhubarb, I don't know.
We used to have that in California.
Yeah, no, I don't remember if it didn't look at all like the type of things that it's mentioning here, but maybe. And what about yarkot sadeh? Or yarkot gina. So if you've got wild yarkot, or you've got the types of things that you raise in your garden, and you raise them, and you uproot them, and you sell them to put into it, or to bring them to another place where you've got a garden. So you might have a greenhouse where you start these things, and then you're oiker them in order to put them somewhere else. So if you're talking about Yarkot, remember, Yarkot are not similar to the bulbs. Yarkot is where you're eating the leaves, not the bulbs. So the first part that we mentioned were all bulbs. Now we're talking about the Yarkot, meaning specifically the difference would be that the ones that are in the Sada are wild, and the ones that are in the garden are called Gina. So they require some special care. So those type of things, those Sharashim, and the Shidra of El Shibolet, if you're talking about grain, so you have a spine out of which all of the grains, they come out, that's called the Shidra of the Shibolet, and you also have the Levush. The Levush is what covers over the actual, the spine is that the stem of the ears, and the kernels are connected to that stem, and they all have a levush. The levush is what we try to get rid of because it's not really edible when we remove the husks. But they are necessary. The stem, once you take them off of the stem, and certainly when you remove the husk, it's going to rapidly spoil unless you immediately grind it. So because of that, they are considered to be shomrim, and because of that, they're mamish mitztarif to the shear. Rabbi Elazar Omer, af hasig shel ritzafit. I got a bigger chiddush for you. Anything, it doesn't even have to be part of the plant. If you've got along the leaves or along the roots, you have a covering of dirt, and that dirt has become so embedded in the plant that there's no way of rubbing it off. That is actually part of the plant in terms of a shmira, because if you would take them off, then the plant would become infected and would be ruined. So that means what we've talked about over here in order. So we talked about bulbs, and we talked about leaves, and we talked about grains, and we talked about the various parts of them, whether it was embedded parts, such as the inside of the onion, or whether it was parts that were necessary in order to provide long-term survival, and they're on the outside, so they might be roots, or they might be the flower that's growing out of the top. And we talked about the leaves, and we talked about the various types of veggies that are grown besides actual grains, and each one of them has a different part of it that you have to learn is considered to be a shomer because it's necessary for its survival. We spoke about, in the first Mishnah, we spoke about fruit that have a protective cover, even if that protective cover is not edible, or most people wouldn't eat it. All of those things are considered to be shomerim in all of their various ways, and according to Rebbe Lozer, the real Kiddush is, it doesn't even have to be an organic part of the thing at all. It's just connected to it because of the way that it grows. That is just as much a shomer. And therefore, hare elu mitamim, if you touch it, they will be makabel tuma on behalf of the, whatever the plant is. They will be mitamim, if something is makabel tuma and it touches the plant, which is tameh. And they are even considered to be part of the shear, their mitzarfen. So this was our list of a lot of various things which are not necessarily yadayim. They're either too thin to be yadayim, or they're not even in any way useful for handling, but they are useful for shmirah.